Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to continue with this theme that we've been looking at from Colossians: fresh perspective, discovering clear vision in a blurry world. The theme that we're going to look at this morning is this theme of living in community. Living as a Christian is not about engaging in some sort of self-improvement program. It's about working out what God has already done in our lives. And this morning we're going to look at some very practical teaching about how to live together in Christian community. But before we do that, I want to emphasize that the starting point for all of this is a life-transforming encounter with God. And that's why we read those few opening verses, because it emphasizes that it starts with this life-changing encounter with God. This is how Paul starts off. He says, since you have been raised with Christ, for you've died and your life is now hidden with God in Christ. Notice those link words, since and for. What we do comes as a response to what God has already done. We died with Christ, Paul tells us. Our former way of life has come to an end. The person that you once were has died, and you have a new life. We are raised with Christ to new life. And of course, that is portrayed in the baptism we had recently, where the person is buried in the water and then raised again, indicating that their old life has died with Christ and now they live a new life in God. We have been raised with Christ. And then Paul goes on to talk about being hidden with Christ in God. It's a picture of the security which we have. This new life is intimately connected to Christ, and his destiny becomes our destiny. So Paul goes on to say, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That's the hope that we have as Christians, that there is a day coming when Christ will come back and when we will share with him in the glory which he had with the Father before the foundation of the world. That's something that we should get excited about, just occasionally. I know we're English, and we don't get that excited except the football matches or rugby matches, but, you know, I tell you, that day will be better than even England winning a World Cup. That will be a day of glorious celebration, because we shall be celebrating the victory that Jesus had over sin and death and hell and the eternal life that is ours, because we are linked to him and his life is our life. What a wonderful day that will be. But none of this we can do for ourselves. It is what God does in response to our faith. When we acknowledge that we have been living independently of God and doing the things that displease him and harm us, that's what the Bible calls sin. When we choose to turn away from that independent lifestyle, what the Bible calls repentance, when we accept God's forgiveness on the basis that Christ died as a sacrifice to atone for our sin, when we acknowledge Jesus to be our Savior and Lord, when we do those things, we are united with him in a way that his death and his resurrection and his ascension become ours. So Paul is able to write in Ephesians, we are seated with him in heavenly places. Or using a slightly different picture here, he talks about our life being hidden with Christ in God. We are secure because we are linked in an eternal relationship with Jesus. More good news. And this new reality in our lives should capture our affections and desires and shape our thinking and attitudes. So Paul goes on to say, set your heart on things above. Set your mind on things above. Paul applies this at two levels. Firstly, he deals with negative desires and responses and attitudes. Things that relate to our earthly nature or in our former way of life. And we want to look at the list of the things he highlights. Immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. If you think about that list for a few minutes, perhaps you might realize that essentially they are things which have the potential to damage relationships and destroy community. Now, if we were in a present-day therapy session, the therapist would be saying, now, how do you feel about that list of things? But Paul had no idea about modern-day therapy. Paul is much more directive. He simply says, put them all to death. That's what we do. Put them to death. And as Janet said at the end of her reading, this is the word of the Lord. Put these things to death. Paul then picks up on something else that has the potential to undermine relationships. He says, do not lie to one another. And here he uses a second picture of the radical change that takes place when we become Christians. He says it's like changing out of dirty clothes. We put off the old self with all its practices, and we put on the new self. The new self. It's not as if our old lives have a makeover. We are completely different. We have a new self that is the creation of God and has the characteristic of being continually renewed to transform us more and more and more into the likeness of Jesus. That's the new nature that we receive when we first become Christians. And that continues to grow within us. But we are to cooperate by setting aside those things that damage relationships, that destroy community, and putting on those qualities that will build community. And that's what Paul then goes on to describe. He describes how this new self impacts our relationships with others and creates a radically different sort of community. Our first century society was very conscious of social distinctions. Those of you who are familiar with the parables that Jesus told, right? Remember, he cautioned people when they're invited to a meal, he cautioned them against taking the most important seats in case someone of a higher social standing arrives and they're asked to move down. Much better to sit lower and then be invited to move up. And that's just an indication of how strong this social strata was in the society of Jesus' time. And the impact of this, what Jesus has done for us, that he calls us into a new community that is radically different, where all these social, cultural, ethic distinctions are overcome. In the community of the church, we are all one in Christ. We all have equal standing. What matters to us is that we're in Christ. And that eradicates all these distinctions. And that we should live out in practice. Everyone in the church who is in Christ is in equal standing. Whatever our background, whatever our social needs, whatever our achievements, we are all one in Christ. And the impact of this transformation that occurs within us, this new self, is that all those distinctions are eradicated. We acknowledge Christ as being supreme, and we see Christ in all who are his followers. So Paul talks about Christ being all and in all. And then contrasting with the previous list of vices, we now have a list of what we might call virtues. We're told to clothe ourselves with these things. So I want you again, take a moment to just think about that list. One of the other features of first century society was that clothes were not easy to come by, and good clothes were very expensive. I'm sure we're all aware that the Jewish society of Jesus' time had loads of regulations about what you could and couldn't do on the Sabbath. But one of the Jewish laws listed items of clothing that could be rescued from a burning house on the Sabbath. Shows you how important clothing was. And often you could tell a person's social standing from the type of clothing that they wore. So Paul tells us to clothe ourselves with these things, which will show our standing in Christ. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearing, forgiving, and love. And just like the other list were things that destroy relationship, damage community, so these are the things that will build relationship and build community. And that's why they're so important. When we put on these things, when we respond in this way in relationship, that will build a strength of community that can become such a healing place. So what I want to suggest to you is when you get up in the morning and you open your wardrobe and you're trying to make that difficult decision for you ladies as to what you're going to wear today, and for us gentlemen, you know, where you left your socks last night when you took them off and put them in the laundry basket before. When you are getting dressed for the day, why don't you spend a few minutes to think about putting on these characteristics, about responding with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. That's a difficult one, isn't it? Being patient with other people. Some people it's easy to be patient with. Some people it's a bit more of a challenge. But patience, forbearing, basically putting up with one another's strange ways. Forgiving and loving with the sort of love that we've experienced in our relationship with God. Clothe yourselves with these things. So when you get dressed tomorrow morning, think about this. Perhaps you might want even to write this list out, put it on the inside of the wardrobe or on the mirror, so when you're admiring what you've achieved with addressing yourself, you can be reminded that these things need to be the way you live out your life. Now, before I finish, I want to emphasize a message from the final verses in this section, which says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Church is not just to be a community of love and care and friendship, but a community where we minister to one another, where we serve one another, where we encourage one another in our Christian journey, where we minister to one another from the Word of God. You see, teaching and admonishing is not the unique task of the pastor or the minister. It's something we all share in. That's what Paul is saying. Teach and admonish one another. It's something that we all share in. As this picture suggests, ministering to one another can be part of our everyday friendship. We can simply share encouragements with one another. And this was very much part of our founding vision for Unity Church. Unity Church was launched some years ago with a bishop's mission order. And in that bishop's mission order, we made a number of statements as to what we were wanting to do as we set out on this new journey as Unity Church. And the first of those statements was that our aim was to foster Christian community that provides friendship, encouragement, and support for the journey in Christian discipleship. So one of the ways in which we can do that is by allowing the Word of God to impact our lives. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Spending time prayerfully reading the Scripture, meditating on it, thinking about what its implications are, thinking about how it might apply, but then taking the opportunity to share with others what we've learned. So I want to end this session this morning with a challenge, a very practical challenge. I want to encourage us during this coming week to spend some time reading the Bible and then take time to think about it, how it affects us, how we should live in light of what we've learned, what God might be saying to us from it. But then, when we get together on Sunday, to take the opportunity, perhaps as Lydia did this morning, wonderful illustration of what I was about to talk about, Lydia sharing what she'd been reading and how that had impacted her. And wasn't it encouraging to hear that? This is what we do in church. We encourage one another with the Scriptures. So I want to encourage you to do that this week. And then take the opportunity. It doesn't have to be coming to the front. It might be chanting beforehand or coffee afterwards. Just to share with others what you have learned. Are you up for that challenge? It's easy to ignore that. It would be easy to go home and forget about it. But I want to say to you, if you take the time to do that, you will be blessed, but others will as well. So, that's my challenge. What I want to do now is just take a moment to allow you to respond. Perhaps you might respond in your hearts by just committing before God that you're going to do that. You're going to take the Scriptures, the Word of the Lord, and you're going to apply it. And you'll spend time with Him this week reading the Word. And then come along just looking for opportunity to share that with something. It doesn't have to be complicated. You know, this week I was reading, just like Lydia did this morning, I was reading this passage, and it really struck me afresh. I was struck many years ago by that same passage about Gideon. Gideon was actually hiding in a pit, and God said, "Mighty warrior." You know, and you think, I'm hiding in this pit. But you see, God had a vision of what he was going to become, not what he was. And we can just encourage people by sharing what we're learning. So that's a challenge. I'm going to give us just a moment of quiet to reflect on that. And then we'll invite the music group back to end with a song. Father, we do ask that you would help us to be a community that dwells richly in the scriptures, in your word that you've given to us, and help us as individuals to play our part in building a community of care and friendship and love, and one that encourages us to be faithful followers of the Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite the group back, and we're going to end with a song that picks up some of those themes. This is the second verse of the song. Holy Spirit, come abide within. May your joy be seen in all I do. Love enough to cover every sin in each thought and deed and attitude. Kindness to the greatest and the least. Gentleness that shows the path of peace. Turn my strivings into words of grace, breath of God. Show Christ in all I do.